Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah just gave his long-awaited speech and why the West has now been put on a high alert for terrorist activity. That's what we're going to talk about on today's program on End Time Headlines. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, guys, it is Friday, November 3rd. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. Listen, if this is your first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. I am your host, founder, pastor, and voice of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero, and we want to welcome tonight's program. We got a lot to talk about tonight. The first thing I want to talk about, there was much anticipated await for the speech that was given by Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah. Many officials, both here in the West and in the Middle East, were concerned about where the tide of this thing would go, depending on what he would say in his speech. So we want to talk about that just for a moment.
Leader actually spoke to the public for the very first time today since the October 7th Hamas terrorist attack. Our Marcus Moore was at that event, actually in Beirut, joins us now with more. So, Marcus, tell us about what exactly was said on behalf of the leader of Hezbollah.
Well, Akira, most of it was what we would have expected. As you mentioned, this was the first time since the October 7th attacks on Israel that we have heard from the leader of Hezbollah, Hassan Nasrallah, and he spoke today via video conference, a massive video board there at a stage in the center of the town where there were literally thousands of men, women, and children who had gathered to hear him speak. And certainly the mood there was one of excitement, if you will, people very resolute. And in terms of what he said that, first of all, that they will be victorious no matter what happens. He also talked about how Israel appears to be weak. They've been exposed as weak in the aftermath of these attacks. And he also called out the United States for hypocrisy as it relates to human rights. And all of these things were elements of his speech that we did expect. We knew that he would say that Israel has appeared to be weak. And he talked about the fact that that in the midst of this war, that they have been scrambling to try to send their fighters, the Israeli Defense Force, sending fighters to the border instead of having them in Gaza, and how that speaks to Hezbollah's role and success in not only their resistance against the Israelis, but also their efforts to support the Palestinians there. And so we heard that. And what we didn't hear, Kira, I think a lot of people were wondering is if this would be a declaration of war. And he really left the answer to that question wide open. He said that Hezbollah has been involved in this war since October 8th, and that they will continue to support the Palestinians as long as the offensive continues there in Gaza.
The Iranian supreme leader yesterday came out and said something very interesting, especially since we know that our administration has been trying to open up the ties and the purse strings towards Iran. This is what their supreme leader said yesterday. Death to America is not just a slogan or a chant. It is our country's official policy toward the U.S. Oh, okay. The situation between America and Iran is this. When you chant death to America, it is not just a slogan, it is policy. I have stated the reasons previously for many years from the 1940s to the 70s, and that is 30 years. The Americans did everything they could against the Iranian nation. They hit Iran in any way they could, financially, economically, politically, scientifically, and morally. If it were not for America's support, if it were not for the support of the U.S. weapons, the corrupt and artificial Zionist regime of Israel would have been destroyed in the first week. It would have collapsed. The Americans are behind this. Wow.
Yeah.
Let's send them another pallet of cash. This is so clear. This is what they mean. And how is it our administration can be sending money to these people?
Nasrallah made this comment in a televised speech today addressing the ongoing Israeli-Hamas conflict. Quote, "The U.S. must be held accountable and pay the price for the crimes perpetrated by Israel in Gaza. Hence, resistant movements have attacked and will continue," and I want to emphasize, "will continue to attack American forces in both Iraq and Syria." This was according to, again, Hezbollah leader who vowed this statement during the speech. He went on to say that, quote, "Israel has revealed itself to be a weak state, as fragile as a spider web, and it needs American and Western support. Otherwise, why would the U.S. Navy send an aircraft carrier shortly after the October 7th attack? Why else would Biden visit Israel alongside numerous American government secretaries, the military top brass, and European leaders?" The leader of Hezbollah went on to praise Hamas for its violent attacks and referred to Israel as the, quote, "occupiers." Now, by the way, this same rhetoric is being echoed here on U.S. soil and in the West, in places like in Paris and in the U.K. Nasrallah made the same assertion about Iran, claiming that the deadly attacks were perpetrated without the Iranian government's knowledge. Now, this also follows another report, and I'm going to read this headline. Quote, "U.S. intel suggests that Syria's Assad agreed to send Russian missile system to Hezbollah with Wagner Group help."
Today, northern Israel suffered under one of the biggest barrages of rockets since the start of the war. Our team witnessed the Iron Dome missile defense system intercept two incoming rockets, though at least one other caused substantial damage. In response, the Israeli military fired back at what it says is the culprit, Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. Hezbollah sits on a massive stockpile of rockets and missiles, far bigger than that of Hamas. Numbering more than 100,000, many have the range and accuracy to strike deep into Israeli territory. A show of force, perhaps, to this man, Hassan Nasrallah, leader of Hezbollah. To his admirers in the Muslim world, he is a leader of the resistance, credited with forcing Israeli forces out of southern Lebanon in 2000 after an 18-year occupation. To Israel, he is an existential threat on its northern border.
Syria has agreed to provide Hezbollah with a Russian-made missile defense system. And Oren Lieberman is out front at the Pentagon breaking this news. And Oren, you are just getting these breaking details from your reporting. This obviously would be a very significant and very serious development. What more are you learning?
Aaron, according to two sources familiar with the intelligence, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad has agreed to provide a Russian-made aerial defense system to Hezbollah, and it is the Russian mercenary group Wagner that will transfer that SA-22 or Pantsir missile defense system from Syria to Lebanon, where it could be set up to be used. Now, what's unclear from the intelligence, according to these sources, is whether the system has already been transferred. It is a medium-range air defense system and would add to Hezbollah's capabilities if and when it arrives in Lebanon. Now, the Israelis have dealt with this system in the past in Syria. Take a look at this video. This is from May 2018. This is video from the IDF of them striking an SA-22 in Syria that was operated by Iran or being used by Iranian proxies there. So they have shown the capability to handle these systems and to strike them from the air. But of course, now the situation is entirely different with Israel embroiled with a war in Gaza and the possibility that Hezbollah could enter this in a much more significant fashion. So even if Israel has dealt with an SA-22 before, certainly not under these circumstances. And that's what everyone here is watching very closely. According to other sources on the matter, so far the U.S. believes that Iran and its proxies don't want to get involved in a big way. But of course, as Jim pointed out, the speech from Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah, everyone is watching that speech to see where this goes and what it means.
So guys, here again, we see, look at the groups that are involved in this now. Now you have Hezbollah, who is an Iranian faction group. You have Syria involved. And then we know that there was reports recently that came out of Turkey, where Turkey has threatened Israel that they would declare war on them.
Erdogan threatens to declare war on Israel and send military to Gaza in chilling warning. Okay. Recap. Erdogan delivered a speech, if you can pull this up, to a rally in which he told attendees Israel was responsible for war crimes and framed Hamas as freedom fighters. Obviously, we know Hamas is not freedom fighters. In comments that have prompted Israeli outcry and led the country to withdraw its diplomatic presence, President Erdogan suggested assault on Gaza constitute a massacre. Erdogan reportedly said, "From now on, we will continue on our path with the motto that we may suddenly knock on your door one night." He said, "In the past, they were massacring the Jewish people in the gas chambers, and they were indeed wiping out whole regions with bombs." Then he added, "A similar mentality is being shown in Gaza today." Okay? All right. So Erdogan, he's talking about a massacre. That's exactly what he was okay with Azerbaijan doing to Armenia. He
no
wasn't saying
no moral
anything.
Authority to talk about genocide.
You want to talk about a guy that doesn't have... Exactly. Mm-hmm. He said, "Let me not remind Armenians of what we did to you many years ago that can happen again." This is a...
He said that?
Oh, yeah. This guy's a straight-up gangster, which is what Erdogan is. Mm-hmm. He's a straight-up gangster. This guy's not a lightweight. He's a true believer, and he's one that you know... At the same time, Turkey's military, strong military. If you type in one of the strongest militaries in the Middle East, mm-hmm. type in strongest military in the Middle East. Strongest military in the Middle East, yeah. Okay, see what comes up. Ten strongest.
Go to that one. Five,
I think he's top. He may even be number one, but he's top three for sure. He's top three.
Wow.
10 is UAE. Okay, keep going, which doesn't say much. Then is Iraq. Keep going. Then it's Morocco. Keep going.
Syria.
Then it's Syria. Keep going.
Algeria.
Keep going.
Saudi.
Fifth. Iran. Fourth.
Wow.
Israel.
Third.
Egypt. Guess who's left?
Wow, Turkey.
Number
Are
one.
You serious?
They have the strongest military in the Middle East.
Ground and air? And
by the way, those are our planes, weapons, and everything.
I know.
That are in Turkey and Israel.
So he is sitting there saying, "You want to do something?" Okay, so look at that number right there. You see 355,800? That's 2017. Hamas is 40,000. Hezbollah is 150,000. Israel, I think, is 300,000. If they get their reserve, this is active personnel. Mm-hmm. Active. They got 355. Israel doesn't have 355 active. Okay. So this is not, if you wake these guys up, so now watch this. Let's say Turkey gets involved. Say Iran gets involved. Say Israel's obviously involved. Hamas is obviously involved. Iran gets involved. Hezbollah is definitely involved. And then next thing you know, Saudi's got to get involved. And then from there, NATO's got to get involved. U.S. has got to get involved. Everybody's like, "Wait a minute, you're getting a little too close to Europe. What are we doing with this?" Mm-hmm. Russia's got to get involved. China's got to get involved. In no time, this is World War III.
So you have Turkey, Iran, and Syria. And it appears you have the involvement of Russia. Now, why is this significant? Because, again, Russia, Iran, and Turkey are three major players involved in the Ezekiel 38-39 prophetic war of Gog and Magog that is a future war. Now you have all three players of that war that are now involved in this. Isaiah 17 tells us that Syria will directly be involved in a future war in which Damascus will be a ruinous heap. And again, to me, it's extremely intriguing. It is extremely intriguing that we're seeing how all this is unfolding in real time. Right before our eyes, everything that has been prophetically spoken is unfolding. Okay, so that's the prophetic side to this. But I want to talk about the why this is a serious issue here at the home front. For you guys that are in the West, all of us who are in the West, I want to give you some, I want to show you some latest reports on this. Now, this is from NPR. Ray warns of increased terrorist threat and says the U.S. is in a, quote, dangerous period. According to FBI Director Christopher Wray, the war between Israel and Hamas has led to a spike in threats against the United States, warning that, quote, we are in a dangerous period.
The reality is that the terrorism threat has been elevated throughout 2023, but the ongoing war in the Middle East has raised the threat of an attack against Americans in the United States to a whole nother level. Since the horrific terrorist attacks committed by Hamas against innocent people in Israel a few weeks ago, we've been working around the clock to support our partners there and to protect Americans here at home. We assess that the actions of Hamas and its allies will serve as an inspiration the likes of which we haven't seen since ISIS launched its so-called caliphate several years ago. In just the past few weeks, multiple foreign terrorist organizations have called for attacks against Americans and the West. Al-Qaeda issued its most specific call to attack the United States in the last 5 years. ISIS urged its followers to target Jewish communities in the United States and Europe. Hezbollah has publicly expressed its support for Hamas and threatened to attack U.S. interests in the Middle East. And we've seen an increase in attacks on U.S. military bases overseas carried out by militia groups backed by Iran. Here in the United States, our most immediate concern is that violent extremists, individuals or small groups, will draw inspiration from the events in the Middle East to carry out attacks against Americans going about their daily lives. That includes not just homegrown violent extremists inspired by a foreign terrorist organization, but also domestic violent extremists targeting Jewish or Muslim communities. We've already seen that with the individual we arrested last week in Houston who'd been studying how to build bombs and posted online about his support for killing Jews. And with the tragic killing of a 6-year-old Muslim boy in Illinois in what we're investigating as a federal hate crime. But as I said a few moments ago, on top of the homegrown violent extremists and domestic violent extremist threat, we also cannot and do not discount the possibility that Hamas or another foreign terrorist organization may exploit the current conflict to conduct attacks here on our own soil.
Now, I want to give you another report. This is the same report, but it kind of goes in a little bit more detail. This is from Politico. U.S. officials hold their breath for Iranian cyber attacks. So, again, the first article that I showed you kind of gives you overall what that we need to be on alert for. But this next article, this Politico article, goes into a whole lot more detail, and I want to share that with you today. All right, let's read a little bit of this. Quote, the U.S. government is prepping for a potential onslaught of Iranian cyber attacks in retaliation for support for Israel and its conflicts with Hamas. Now we see here that they're telling us to be on high alert for cyber attacks. Okay, let's read on a little bit more. It's far from just Israel at risk of cyber attacks from the Hamas-aligned regime's cyber operatives. They also see the U.S. and other nations that support the Israeli government as likely targets. All right, let's read on here. This is where it's going to get real interesting. Quote, such attacks could take the form of attempting to damage critical systems. Now, this would be critical infrastructure, such as water or electricity. And this would likely involve widespread disinformation efforts and could also invoke proxies to keep Iran's fingerprints off the incidents. I want to repeat this again. Quote, critical infrastructure attacks such as water and electricity.
Cybersecurity experts are warning that breaches and shutdowns of critical computer systems are imminent and that our government needs to act now before it's too late.
Human error or a cyber attack? That was the major question after the computer network failure that recently grounded all U.S. air traffic for the first time since 9/11. While the FAA insists human error led to the outage, Canada experienced a computer outage on the very same day.
This is what I would categorize as highly suspicious, because these systems have redundancy, they have backups, they have ways to be able to recover. So when I hear that there was a database error, and then as you said, there were two different systems that went down on the same time, I'm like, okay, saying it was human error keeps everyone calm. But in reality, it really does sound like a cyber attack and that something went wrong that was unplanned for.
Folks, listen. You and I need to be prepared. Now, what does that look like, practically speaking? It would probably be very smart to purchase some bottled water. Get you some gallons of water. Get water on hand that you have regularly available, that in the event that there is some type of an attack or a compromise against our water system, that you're going to have access to drinking water. Are you hearing me? This is some serious stuff, guys. Again, all articles, I pulled up about five different sources, and all of them are stressing the severity of how concerned U.S. officials, the FBI, the CIA, this current administration, all of these are on high alert. Okay, not just for the water system, but electrical infrastructure. Okay, how long have they been warning about the power grid being improvised and jeopardized by some type of cyber attack? We're talking about cyber attacks against major infrastructure of America. We're talking about hospitals. We're talking about banking systems. We're talking about train communication, subway transportation methods, and the list goes on. So these are things that they're telling us that we're on a heightened alert, that things could get real hairy in the next few months. Because we're in November. We've got all of November. We got all of December. And nobody's to say that this won't carry over into 2024. But again, we are on, and especially now that the leader of Hezbollah has come out and warned that they are going to increase their attacks against U.S. troops in both Iraq and Syria. Guys, again, this also signals, I believe, other groups outside of the Middle East that are already in the West. Sleeper cells. Let's just not skirt around the bush here. Let's just talk and tell it like it is. Sleeper cells that are already here in America.
I'm concerned about a cell sitting inside America today. We just caught 18 people just last month on the FBI terrorist watch list coming across our border. More than 160 have done it this year, a record breaking. When we're looking around the Middle East and the uprisings popping up around Europe and others, they could be sleeper cells right now in America, but this administration hasn't done nothing to change what's happening on the southern border.
They're getting the green light here. And there was an incident. Guys, there's already things happening. If you're paying attention, there's already things happening. Look at the shooting. Now listen to me really carefully. I'm not saying that the shooting that happened in Maine is affiliated with this. But guys, listen, I'm going to tell you the truth. Dead men cannot talk. We will never know truly what the motive was. Because number one, every time that there is a shooting like this anymore, have you ever noticed that if there is a manifesto out there and it's public, it'll never see the light of day. Look what happened to the recent attacks. Look at the school shootings that happened, and the manifesto was out there, but it never came to the light of day. We never saw it. And look at the shooter that was in Las Vegas, the worst mass shooting in U.S. history in Las Vegas at that concert, that Jason Aldean concert. The shooter went up into the hotel and sprayed all those people, shot all those people. And again, dead men don't talk. And to this very day, we still do not know the full manifesto of why he carried this out. And I could sit here for the next 10 minutes and go through incident after incident after incident. And again, where there's no manifesto, we don't know about, well, there is a manifesto, but we as the American people, the American public, or you guys that are in the West or wherever you're watching this, the public will never know of it. It will never see light of day. It's locked in a vault somewhere, and only certain eyes can see that. Gee, now here we are, and guys, we're not going to be told, everything. Look at, and again, we have another, you know, this shooter in Maine, former military, carried out what he did, and ironically, consequently, it happened literally within days of the FBI, the CIA, all the, you know, the terror watch groups came out and warned us that there would be cells. There would be organizations that would be in America, and they would carry out retaliatory attacks, copycat attacks. Within days, here you have this mass shooting in Maine. Now, look, I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying by any means that he was affiliated with Hamas or some Islamic radical faction or group, but don't you think it's ironic? Oh, and let me give you another story, and this is interesting, too. Then you had this bizarre story. Did you guys see this? Quote, heavily armed man with guns, ammo, and explosives found dead inside a popular Colorado amusement park. According to Fox News, the suspect was armed with a, get ready, I know you're going to be shocked, an AR-style rifle. I know it's hard to believe, right? Semi-automatic handgun, multiple magazines with ammunition and explosive. Let's read a little bit about this.
Police say a man heavily armed with guns and explosives was found dead in one of the park's bathrooms. As ABC's Rhiannon Alley explains, authorities believe he may have been planning a devastating attack.
This morning, police in Colorado are investigating the mysterious case of a heavily armed man found dead at this amusement park.
There is much more we do not know right now than we do know.
A maintenance crew found the body of a 20-year-old man inside the women's bathroom at Glenwood Caverns Adventure Park Saturday. He had apparently entered the park before it opened. Police say he was armed with an AR-style rifle, a semi-automatic handgun, and explosives, wearing body armor and tactical clothing. Police also say they found multiple improvised explosive devices in the man's vehicle.
He was well intended to do something very heinous. Again, why would you prep for that? And whatever he had intention, fortunately, he did not follow through with it.
But investigators believe the man died of a self-inflicted gunshot, not carrying out whatever plans he may have had.
Given the preparation, given the amount of weapons and the amount of ordnance he had, it almost seemed very highly likely that he intended to use those against the community. He chose not to.
Authorities searched the rest of the park, including the rides, for other explosives, but found none. The weapons found on the man were ghost guns, which do not have serial numbers and therefore cannot be traced.
Overnight, police identified that man as Diego Barajas Medina from the nearby town of Carbondale. They say he had no criminal history.
Now, think about this, guys. This is terrifying. Think about going, you know, all these people, you know, they showed up that day and they went to the park and they didn't think any of this. They it never crossed their mind that there was going to be someone there who had all these explosives, had all these firearms, and was going to carry out another one of these mass shooting incidences. And again, but this is the narrative that we're being told. This is what we're being told. What is the motive? Why is all of this happening all of a sudden? So again, we're putting all this together for you today, guys. Number one is so that you can be alert, that you can be, that you know what's going on. Because listen, I don't know about you, but listen, I love going on family vacations with my family. I love going to public parks. I love going to, you know, to places where we can enjoy. But on the other hand, I am always, always aware of my surroundings. I'm always looking over my shoulder. I remember we went to Washington. This was what, last year? I want to say it was last year. We went to the Washington Zoo. We went to the Washington Monument. We did all these, we went around, did all these things. And the whole time, I was just constantly just looking over my shoulder, looking around, because I'm not one of these individuals to just walk out into public places with a couple hundred people and I'm just blindly walking around with my face, you know, buried in my phone and not paying attention. I'm looking around and I'm checking out. I'm looking at people. I'm observing people. I'm watching around. Why? Because we live in perilous times. I'm not saying I'm walking in fear. I'm not saying that I'm going to cancel what I'm doing and I'm not going to live life. I'm not saying that. We should enjoy life. I refuse to cave in and give in to fear. Don't allow fear to dictate what you're going to do. But at the same time, don't be a walking zombie and be oblivious to your surroundings. Use some wisdom. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So again, that's why we're informing you of this today, that we're, you know, the FBI, the CIA, they're all warning that we are at the West. It is on a level of terrorism right now, on alert, to be watching and be aware that we're on a heightened level that has not been seen in a long time. Now, when you couple this with the border issue that we have, where you have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, just, and it is millions, that are just pouring into the border, then this is a huge concern, especially when you have reports like this. This is from the New York Post. 530,000 migrants illegally sneaked into the U.S., and this is since October. This was admitted by the border chief. Let me say that again. 530,000 migrants illegally snuck into the United States since October. Guys, that was a month ago. Over 500,000 in 1 month. What was September? What was August and July and June and May and April and March? What has it been since the beginning of the year? Do the math on that. If 500,000 of these people snuck into the U.S. every month, think about how many that is in just the amount of time that we have from January to now, in 11 months. We're over 1 million, 2 million. This is insane. Okay, and then there was another article, quote, this is from the Daily Mail, migrant caravan. Now, this is still ongoing. Migrant caravan headed north swells by 1,000 people in only 24 hours and is now grown over. And by the time this actually airs, by the time we get to next week, we don't even know what this the number is going to be. But now they're saying over 7,000 people. This is a migrant caravan heading into America, 7,000 plus people. And according to the report, Chinese influencers are showing migrants how to cross the U.S. southern border. Wow, this is going to make you sleep good at night, isn't it? Now, you want to know why that stuff concerns me? Because you have stuff like this. Quote, search continues for a suspect who drove through a Coney nuclear station gate. Guys, this happened in South Carolina last night while most of you guys were asleep. Right here on your screen, you could see this right here.
For that one, now to a news alert. This one coming out of Oconee County. Search is on for a man accused of driving onto the nuclear station's property and then sending security on a chase.
Now the sheriff's office is investigating the incident that ended with shots being fired. It was all out chaos and a developing situation. So that's why we have Fox Carolina's Haley Spittler joining us now with what we know at this time.
Yeah, it was a set of crazy and wild events at the Oconee nuclear station last night. Deputies now searching for a suspect who trespassed onto the plant's property and evaded security several times. Right now, we want to show you the...
Boy, that's not a bit concerning, is it? So a suspect trespassed onto the Oconee nuclear station in South Carolina. There was gunfire. He's still on the loose. They still have not found him. And what was his motive? Why was he doing this? What was he doing? Let's listen a little bit more here.
Type of car investigators are looking for at this hour. It's a 2002 Toyota Camry with a license plate from Arkansas. The Oconee County Sheriff's Office.
So here, okay, now the individual is not even from South Carolina. He has plates from Arkansas.
Says it all started just after 8 last night, telling us the car had driven through the exit side of the gate facing Highway 183. That's when security at the plant activated pop-up barricades. They say the driver hit those barricades, backed up, and then drove down a dirt road where security officers tried to block the car in.
Okay, stop. So one may say, well, maybe they took the wrong turn and they, you know, this is what happened. They went the wrong way. They didn't see it. They got in there, which again, we're just going to give them the benefit of the doubt. But the story gets even more bizarre. If that was the case, why did this next part happen? Listen to this.
The suspect is then accused of driving through a fence after trying to hit security. The car went out of the plant's exit before going back onto Highway 183 and onto a property on Jones Mill Road where shots were fired. And as of this morning...
So the suspect ran through a gate, tried to run over security, and shots were fired. Again, by a nuclear station.
It's unclear where the gunshots came from. We want to show you that car again. If you have any information about the car or the driver, you are asked to call 911. The Oconee Nuclear Station, owned in Seneca, is manned by security 24/7. We do know about an hour before this all unfolded, that same car and driver showed up at the plant, eventually going when being asked to leave. This case is in the early stages of the investigation.
Hey, nothing to see here, folks. No, and again, we had people emailing us and saying, we live in South Carolina and haven't heard anything about this. Why are we not hearing about this? Again, I'm telling you guys, this is the things that slips through that we do hear about. How many things that you think goes on that we don't ever hear about, that never see light of day? This is why it's concerning. When you have millions of people that have crossed into our country that illegally have malicious intent. We don't know that. We don't know what their intent are. What is? What are they doing? Why are they doing this? Where are they at? So is it any wonder why we have this right here? Quote, pro-Palestinian protesters set an Israeli flag on fire. Not in Syria, not in Lebanon, not in Gaza. No, this happened right here in America in the streets of New York City. They lit an Israeli flag on fire and they trampled flyers of missing Israelis in Israel. Again, according to the report, these pro-Palestinian protesters were seen on the streets of New York City. This happened Thursday night, burning the Israeli flag and ripping down posters that were intended to help find those who had been kidnapped by Hamas terrorists in Israel. By the way, we reported on this. There was a dentist in the state of Florida that was caught on video who was doing the same thing. He wasn't burning a flag, but he was ripping down these posters. And then when he was confronted about it and lost his job for it, they did an interview and he said, well, this has been twisted and this was taken out of context. Yeah, sure. Pro-Israel protesters stood guard in front of the missing persons signs Thursday evening outside the City University of New York Chancellor's office as police tried to maintain peace between two sides. But according to the report, pro-Palestinian protesters could be seen ripping up the missing person posters and repeatedly stomping on them. But they're peaceful protesters, guys. So don't get your feathers ruffled up because they're peaceful protesters. I mean, nothing exhibits peace and peaceful protesting than ripping down posters that have been put up to help find kidnapped individuals. I mean, ripping them down, that's a sign of peace if I've never seen it. And listen, and it went even further in their exhibit of peace when they set fire to the Israeli flag and started stomping on it. I mean, does that not spell peace? You know, this is a, you know, comes from a peaceful religion. Because after all, didn't Barack Obama tell us this? This is a religion of peace.
We have reaffirmed again and again that the United States is not and never will be at war with Islam. Islam teaches peace.
Oh, and by the way, the protesters were chanting free, free Palestine. You know, the same rhetoric that we're hearing at the universities and campuses here in America, the same rhetoric that you're hearing in London, where it's completely gone. And you've got over a million people in London chanting this. Guys, this is a powder keg that is, when this thing explodes, my friend, it's going to get bad. I don't know how to, I can't sugarcoat it. I'm not going to try to tell you, you know, otherwise. This thing is a powder keg that is set to explode. We have not seen anything yet. And I'm telling you, when we read about perilous times, I think that we have only seen a fraction of what's coming. And I'm telling you, when you put all this together, we've got to, again, be vigilant, be informed, be alert, be watchful, and be in prayer. I want to close this program right now in prayer. We want to do that because, you know, we've informed you of the much as the ability that we can, giving you this information that's coming out and showing you the heightened alert that we all should be in and the severity of why we need to be in much prayer about this situation. So can we pray right now? Let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we come together as a unified body of believers. God, we lift up our families. We lift up our cities. We lift up our communications, our communities to you. We lift up our states to you that are represented here. We lift up our lives to you, Lord. We ask that you would place mighty angels about our properties, about our cities, about our families, about everything that we have. Lord, may you keep us and protect us. Lord, you said the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear you, and he delivers them out of their trouble. Lord, we profess and plead the precious blood of Jesus over, Lord God, over our homes, over our cities, over our communities, over our families, over our children. Father, we ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit, God, in which you have sealed us to the day of redemption, for those that are listening and are born again, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. Father, I pray that you would reveal to us, Lord, you said in your word in the book of John, that when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he shall not speak of his own accord, but he'll show us things and speak to us things that which the Father speaks. You said that you would show us things to come. God, I pray that you would warn your people in advance, God. Lord, if we're not supposed to go to a certain place, a certain city, a certain event, God, I pray that you'd prompt us through the Holy Spirit, God. Lord, shake us through dreams, shake us through visions, shake us through, Lord God, a revelation knowledge. Lord, warn us through a prophet, warn us through an individual, warn us through a circumstance, God. Lord, in Jesus' name, when things don't go our way, when we're supposed to go to a certain place or a certain event, and Lord, everything falls apart, everything, it's like doors are closing and events are just falling apart. Lord, I pray that, Lord, if this is the divine hand of providence to protect us, I pray that we would see that and we would recognize that this is not adversity, but it's actually protection by Almighty God in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for those, Lord God, certain individuals, Lord, that have targets on their back because of their faith, because of their religion, God, and because of whom they've swore their allegiance to. I pray that, Lord, you'd protect them. I pray that you'd keep them and that you'd preserve them in Jesus' name. I declare that no weapon forged or orchestrated against us shall prosper in Jesus' name. God, we thank you, Father. We cancel and cast down every word curse that's been spoken out against us and against our families in Jesus' name, God. Lord, we thank you today. I pray that every terroristic attack, plot, or plan that would be orchestrated by men or women on the soil of Western nations or even those of abroad against our troops and against those of, Lord God, that are targeted, I pray that they would be exposed. I pray that they'd be revealed to the authorities by the FBI, the CIA, and those that are involved directly in Jesus' name. God, we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We thank you that, Lord, the promises of God are yes and amen to those that believe. We thank you for your promises, Lord, that the angels are with us. God, that we are not going anywhere until we have fulfilled our purpose on this earth. And all of God's people said amen and amen. Listen, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, right there above me. That's going to be our main website. Please go visit it. Bookmark our site. Better yet, download our free app. You can get it today on Apple and Android devices. Again, just download it today from your Play Store. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be good to go. on podcasts and headlines when they are readily available. Also, guys, if you would like to pray about becoming a monthly partner, we want to make that easily available for you to do. Again, pray about that. We would love your support. We are a partner-based ministry, partner-supported ministry, meaning we do not sell merchandise. We don't sell messages. We don't have a subscription fee base or anything like that. Everything we do is absolutely free to you guys. We just ask that you pray about becoming a monthly partner and what the Lord would have you to do. And whatever your relationship is with our ministry, again, if you'd like to do that, you can do that two different ways right there on your screen. If you're watching the visual of this, the easiest way is through the app. Go down to the bottom, hit donate, or you can go to the main website, again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, and go there and click on where it says donate or support the ministry. It's going to bring you to an electronic page where you can give there based on whatever platform you'd like to do that with. Or, of course, you can give by a check or money order by making it out to End Time Headlines. That's P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. As always, guys, thank you so much for jumping on to the broadcast today. Again, don't forget to hit that like button, that share button, and it pushes our material out there on the algorithm as well. So we're going to sign off for tonight. We plan on being back here on Monday, November, 6th? I believe it's November 6th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you next week. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.